Hey guys, well, welcome back to Be the Girl. I have loved this series together. If you're like me, I've read the book of Ruth so many times, but there's something about breaking it down chapter by chapter and actually ascribing different qualities and attributes and assets to Ruth and Naomi that we begin to see what the girl is really like. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Tonight's message is a little difficult for me. The fact that I chose the topic is quite interesting because it's something that I am not, but I'm working on. Tonight we're going to talk about be the girl that's patient. Be the girl that's patient. And we're going to see in a few moments in the book of Ruth, chapter three, in that whole chapter, we're going to talk about how she was patient. And that's a characteristic that I'm working on. So let's actually start with the definition of patience. What is patience? It's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset or angry. You know, when I read the definition, I'm like, I don't know that that's me. But I want to challenge you with part of this definition that I never thought of before. Listen, this is really good. It is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay in your life. That word capacity caught my attention because it's something that I actually can grow. You can grow your capacity. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is how do I become more patient? How do I build patience? How do I grow patience in my life? I want you to enlarge your capacity for patience. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Ruth 3. We're going to pick up toward the end of the chapter, and we're going to talk about patience in Ruth's life. Look with me at verse 12. Although it is true that I am your guardian redeemer, Boaz says, there is yet another who is more closely related than I. Now, if you remember from last week, in the beginning of chapter 3, we talked about how she was very strategic. Remember, her mother-in-law Naomi said, I want you to go in and I want you to lay at the threshing floor at the feet of Boaz. I want you to present yourself to him as though you are ready to be his, that you are presenting yourself as he's the kinsman redeemer and you're available. And remember, we talked about her strategy was that she would take a bath and put on perfume. So hopefully you picked up a few strategies from last week's lesson. But here we are at this setting. And he's picking up the story. She's still at his feet. And he says to her, there is yet another kinsman redeemer. Now, when I read this verse, I stopped here and I thought to myself, how hard this must have been for her. You have to realize she'd been in the field with Boaz. Boaz had taken care of Ruth. He watched her. He sent grain and wheat home with her. He told her to be safe in his field. He put women around her. And she had to feel safe with him. And now all of a sudden, she realizes there might be someone before him as her kinsman redeemer. You see, in the law of this day, if your husband were to die, whoever was the nearest relative would take on the widow and the widow's family as part of their family. So there was one kinsman redeemer before Boaz. And I thought to myself as I began to contemplate, can you imagine what Ruth must have been going through? Maybe this next kinsman redeemer would not be kind. Maybe he had other wives and she was going to have to now come into a harem. Maybe he would be mean or cruel or not take care of her. And everything in her mind all night long, she had to think about, is there another kinsman redeemer other than Boaz that might take me in his home? The verse goes on in verse 13 and says, stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your kinsman redeemer, then good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie here until morning. Once again, she had to lay there all night at the feet of Boaz, wondering, would he be my kinsman redeemer? Would he be the one that would provide for me and care for me? You know, we have a kinsman redeemer, and his name is Jesus. And he provides for us, and he looks out for us. He loves us more than we will ever love ourselves. And that's the beautiful part of this story, is that Boaz was her physical kinsman redeemer. But every time I read this story, I think about how God has provided for me as my redeemer. We pick up in verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning. But then she got up before anyone would recognize her. And he said, "No one must know that you had come on the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me your shawl, the one that you are wearing about you." And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley, and he placed the bundle on her back, and he gave her that to bring to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked her, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told everything Boaz had done for her. "He gave me the 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Once again, here we see this beautiful love story of Boaz caring for Ruth, making sure that she and Naomi had enough food. I love this story because he is a wonderful kinsman redeemer. He's always providing for her and caring for her and making sure that they have enough food and that she's safe, making sure that her image isn't tarnished. And in Ruth's mind right now, she has to think, "Oh, my God, the God of Israel." Now remember, this was a foreign God to her. She had come from Moab. She had other gods, other rules. Her culture was different. And now she's coming into the people of Israel. She's understanding that they have this God, the Yahweh God. I believe in her heart, she must be crying out and saying, "I want this to be my kinsman redeemer." And she begins to tell Ruth, and Ruth tells Naomi everything that has happened. And verse 18, "Then Naomi said," and this is our verse, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." You see, Ruth had to wait all day long for Boaz to go and find out about this kinsman redeemer. Is there another kinsman redeemer that will buy you back? And we'll pick that up in our story next week. But today I want to talk to you about be the woman that's patient. Now, I don't know about you, but I am impatient. I am an impatient driver. I hate it when I am waiting. You know when you see a line open up and you jet over in that lane because you want to get 2 cars ahead? Now, that might not be you, but I am notorious for changing lanes to try to get ahead just a little. Or how about if you're in a conversation and the person you're talking to just never seems to get to the end of the story, and you want them to shut up, come on, end the story, because I have something I want to say. Do you realize that's impatience? When you can't wait for someone in line, maybe you're in the grocery store and you hop over from one lane to another. And I began to think when I put this message together, all the areas of my life that I'm impatient. And sometimes I'm impatient with God. When I ask him at the prayer wall for healing, when I ask him to meet a need in my life or someone I love, I expect the answer right then. But I love this story because Naomi says, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens." So not only did Ruth have to sit and wait, but my friend, you and I have to sit and wait often because it's patience that we need to learn. We've got to expand and grow and develop our patience. I love what Joyce Meyer, she said. She said, "Patience is not simply the ability to wait." So listen, patience is not just the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting. That's the true picture of patience. How do you act? So when I'm in that line at the grocery store or in traffic, if I can just sit and realize that the next lane is closer, but I don't jump over into it, I wait it out, I'm gonna develop my patience. That's part of what I have to do. What's my attitude while I'm waiting in patience? George Bernard Shaw, and I love this, says, 2 things will define you. Now, girlfriend, listen to me. And when I'm coaching you and I'm teaching you, we've said before, Holy Spirit has something to say. It might be through a quote, it might be through a scripture, it might be the prompting of an experience in your life. But these kinds of things bring course correction when God wants to speak. And he goes on, he says, 2 things define you: your patience when you have nothing, and your attitude when you have everything. Right now in your life, there's 2 things that will define you: your patience when you have nothing, when your answers aren't coming, when you're frustrated, or your attitude when you have everything. How do you handle what God gives you? Tonight I want to talk to you about steps to building patience. Now, I realize that this is airing on our Tuesday night. I hope you're joining me online. But let me encourage you, for those of you that have passed on these videos, some of you are watching them in the morning, you're watching them in the afternoon, maybe you're on your iPhone right now in your car waiting to pick up your kids, and you're sharing this video with someone. So regardless of when you're watching this, I want to speak to you about how do I build patience? How do I enlarge the capacity in an area of my life that I may not be so great at? How do I build patience? Number one, the first thing you have to do is you have to make yourself wait. All right, write that down. Make yourself wait. Do you realize that you have to learn the discipline of patience? Patience will not just come to you because you're spiritual, because you talk about it, because you say, okay, I'm going to wait in this line and see if I can be patient. Patience is something you have to develop. It's something that you have to work on. You guys, we live in a day of instant everything. Instant everything. Instagram, you know, Insta this, Insta that. It was funny, my husband and I were making dinner last night, and you know, I love making baked potatoes. I mean, that's just something I love making. But I've gotten in such a hurry that I don't bake a potato anymore. I throw some wax paper around it, throw it in the microwave, and 4 minutes later, I have a baked potato, and there's nothing baked about it. I'm too impatient to spend a half hour baking a potato. Why do we live in this world of instant everything? Instant gratification, instant answers, instant prayers. We must stop and build our patience. Just rest in the moment. Be okay with not having the answer. Be okay with just stopping and allowing patience to develop in the midst of time. A study published in Psychological Science shows that waiting for things actually makes us happier in the long run. So I've been working on this the last couple days since I put this message together. And when I'm in the car, I'm sitting there waiting. And I'm not looking at everyone that's passing me. It's tempting because as a 3 on the Enneagram, I'm an achiever. And I always think if I can do something quicker and faster and, you know, better, I'm going to do it. It's smarter to get in that lane and get home quicker. I don't know why I think that way, but that's the way I'm wired. I've had to stop and teach myself how to just rest and be patient. And do you realize that the stress of trying to jump in another lane, you know, watch and see, monitor which is going faster, there's just stress on putting that on yourself to always be first. In Romans 8:25, I love this verse. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You know, even the Word of God tells us we have to wait in patience. God wants to teach us something in the moment, preparing us for what He's getting ready to give us. There is a beautiful joy in just waiting in patience for the goodness of God. I love this quote. It says, a man who is master of patience is master of everything else. You know, guys, I'm just going to be really honest. It's hard to be patient. Patient with our husbands, our loved ones, our children, our job, a deadline that we have to get done, and all of this pressure that we put on ourselves for instant everything and gratification immediately is killing us. So I want to encourage you to learn the discipline of just sitting and waiting. You know, one thing that's really helped me, honestly, are my prayer times. I have a prayer room at home. And I'll sit there, I have a prayer rock, and on my rock I have names and people and prayer requests and scriptures. And I'll get up in the morning and I'll just go kneel at that rock. It's actually just a big landscaping rock that I got from Home Depot. If you ever want to go get one, it's a great place to just pray. But I kneel at this rock, and sometimes I'll put on music. Sometimes I just kneel there and I try to just be still. Be still and know that He is God. Because I'm a very high energy, fast paced, moving person. And if I don't stop and teach myself, and it's a discipline that we must discipline ourselves. But when I'm doing that, to be honest with you, the peace that comes over me and the joy to not be in a hurry, it's my time to just sit and simply be. So learn to discipline yourself with patience. Number 2, do less and enjoy more. Do less and enjoy more. You know, we all know living through this pandemic and COVID-19 that our lives have changed. And some of us have more on our plate and some have less. Maybe you're not having to go to work, so you don't have the drive time. You're working from home, or maybe you're not going out, you're social distancing and restaurants aren't open, but you might not be doing as much, but you might have more, because most of us now are cooking more than we used to cook, and we're having to do homeschooling with our kids, and we're having to do more work from home. So you may be doing more, but you know, there's something I love coaching, and it's called practice subtraction before addition. Take something off your plate before you put anything else on your plate. Your plate is only so big. And what happens is we just start to mound our plate with piles of stuff, and we can't even get to the bottom because we just continue to try to do more. You know, part of patience is having less to do. So you don't put the stress. So listen to me. If you can't commit to something, remember a few weeks ago when we talked about be the girl that stays true to her commitment, that's committed? If you can't make a commitment, don't make it. Don't put the pressure on yourself, because then you don't have the patience with your family or your loved ones or even yourself. So practice doing less and enjoying more. You know, there's a military motto that I love, and it says, fast is slow and slow is fast. Fast is slow and slow is fast. And you know, I find this to be so true, because if I try to hurry through something, I usually mess it up so bad that I have to go back and pick up my mess. And so I'm telling you right now, if I try to hurry, I'm gonna spend more time trying to do it right than if I slow down, think it through, guard my steps, guard my mouth, and take an account of what's happening and do it slow, then I'm actually gonna do it faster, because in the long run, I'm not gonna have to clean up my mess. So that motto is pretty good. Fast is slow, slow is fast. So slow it down and do it right. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 13:4, and you guys know this chapter, I love it, it's the love chapter, and it tells us that love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant. Guys, if you're not being patient right now with your loved ones, your children, or your husband, or your colleagues, or even yourself, then you're not truly, truly doing what the scripture tells us to do, to be patient in love. And I want you to practice that. Number three, and this one's hard. Number three, this one's hard. Be mindful of the things making you impatient. Now listen to me. If you're with me and you've got a piece of paper and a pencil, write down the things right now in your life that you're impatient with. I know the things. I've already mentioned them. I confessed it to you. A lot of times it's traffic or conversations or God. And I know what they are, and I know what my triggers are. I know when I'm going to be impatient. If I've booked my day too full, then I'm going to be impatient with those around me. You know, one thing I've been convicted and I'm really working on is when I come here to the office, and I love our staff, and I'm so busy when I run in and I'm running to a meeting or a video or study that sometimes I don't even take the time to stop and say hello to everyone. And I was really convicted about that, and I realized when I book my schedule that I need to give myself enough time to say hi to people that I pass along the way, to ask them how they're doing and not be so impatient to get to my next assignment, my next meeting, my next responsibility, that I'm not patient with those around me that I truly love dearly. So you have to stop right now and be mindful of the things in your own life that are making you impatient. Have patience with yourself. I love this. Have patience with all things, but first of all, have patience for yourself. Be patient in all things, but first of all, have patience with yourself. Girlfriend, give yourself some grace. We can't do it all, but if you are learning that art of patience and your capacity is growing, then you are being the girl that's patient. Now, number four, let's get into this one. I love this one. As a fitness instructor and somebody that truly loves prayer walking, this one's very important. Relax and take deep breaths. Do you realize that when you feel impatience coming on, that there's really something you can do about it? When I'm with someone or I'm in a conversation and I'm just feeling my heart start to race and my frustration rise, I literally would take a deep breath and I'll exhale. I'll mentally stop and think, Tammy, calm down. Nothing you say right now is so important that you can't listen and give respect to the person that's talking. I have to do self-talk. I have to bring down my emotions and I have to step into the moment and be respectful of the person that's talking. That's patience. You need to find some time for yourself every day to decompress. Now, you probably recognize the signs of impatience in your own life, and you know when they're coming, and here's what they are. Here's the physical signs. First of all, tension in your muscles. So you know when you're with someone and you're really impatient, and maybe you're clenching your jaw, you know, maybe you're doing this, maybe you're tightening up. One thing that we all do is we get restless. We think if we move a little bit, we might hurry them along. Finish your conversation, finish your job, let's go. You know, something for me, and I'll just say this right here, is I'm always prompt. I don't know if it's, again, part of my number three Enneagram, but I'm always early. I'm always, I'm never late. I'm always on time or early. So when I'm going somewhere and I tell someone I'm going to pick them up, I'll pick you up on my way, and they're not on time, I am so frustrated. I sit in my car, I tap my foot, I clench my hands. There's something about me being on time that's important to me. And so it's so easy to be impatient with people that aren't on time. So what I could do is I'm picking up Susie at 5:45 for a 6 o'clock dinner. I should say, hey, Susie, I'm gonna pick you up at 5:30 and we can catch up on the way. I'd rather get there 10 minutes early than be frustrated and impatient with Susie because she's not ready. And those are the kinds of things you need to do, because if you feel your body tensing up or they get in the car and you're kind of rude to them. And you're kind of a little mad for the rest of the evening because they made you late. You have to be in charge of that. You have to realize you have to safeguard yourself with a feeling of impatience. I love this scripture in Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious, telling us right there, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication, make your requests to God. You know, if you're frustrated right now and you're impatient with a loved one, a friend, with yourself, don't be anxious about anything. Guys, just listen. Go right now to God in prayer and supplication. Make your requests known. God, right now I'm a little frustrated with my husband. I'm a little frustrated with my children. I'm struggling right now with all this stay-home stuff. I just want to get out. If you feel like you're struggling with impatience right now, spend some time in prayer and let God grow your heart. Let him calm you down. Let him work in your life to build patience. It takes time. That's part of what God wants to show us. It takes time to grow patience. Patience is necessary, and we cannot reap immediately where one has not sown. I love that quote. I don't know what makes us think that we're going to reap immediately where we've sown. God wants to work in your life. And just like we had the story of Ruth, you have to sit here and wait and find out if this is your kinsman redeemer. God wants you to wait. God has you in the wait. He wants you to rest in the wait. When I was a little girl, my mom used to sing this song to me all the time. And it goes like this. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the others that have to wait on you. I can just hear my mom's voice. We'd march around the house and she'd sing that. Be patient, don't be in such a hurry. I heard this story about a monk, and the monk went deep into the woods trying to learn patience. He was the most impatient person. So he thought, if I could get away from everyone, I can learn patience. He gathered all his belongings and he made a little place for him way far away from everyone. Well, the years went on and he wasn't any more patient than when he left. Well, one day a traveler was making his way through the forest and got lost. He found himself with the monk. And he said to the monk, what are you doing way out here? And the monk said, I'm teaching myself patience. Well, the gentleman said to him, well, how do you learn patience all by yourself out here in the forest? And he began to inquire, how in the world can you learn patience all by yourself? If there's no one around you, how do you learn patience? With that, the monk looked at him and said, "You ask too many questions. Now leave me alone and be on." And I laughed at that story because I thought, here is the monk. He's supposed to be spiritual. He's supposed to be able to help others. And he himself could not be patient. You guys, you will never learn patience by yourself. You will learn patience when you spend it with people, with God, being frustrated, not giving in to your frustrations. Don't be the monk that says, "Off with you." Be the person that says, "I will simply sit and wait. I will develop character. I will develop patience. I will develop tenacity. I will be the girl that God has created me to be." You guys, I'm so excited because we're just weeks away from our Be the Girl conference. And as you know, we are filling up quickly. You do not want to miss this conference. So I want to encourage you right now to go on our website, and it's www.woi.today. And go to Be the Girl Conference. Make sure you get a ticket. Make sure you bring a friend. This is going to be an incredible time, whether you join us here at Influence Church or you watch online with so many hundreds of others. Make sure that you're a part of Be the Girl Conference. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you. Have a great day. God bless.
In a world that is ever-changing and fast-moving, we understand that it can be hard to keep up with the times. What was in vogue yesterday is no longer today, and the future seems to be riding the coattails of social media. Illness, politics, and technology seem to have temporarily taken over the world. But one thing remains constant. God is in control. The future is now. Be the girl. We'll be right back.